Welcome to Ray and Kay Today, talking sports with friends.
Ray and Kay Today.
Sports radio on the dial. Check us out. We'll make you smile. And they spit it, don't play. And we're talking nothing but the NFL and NBA. MLB, college football, college basketball, some tennis for your...
Hello, 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 and welcome to the show. You are listening to Ray and Tay Today.
Are you ready for some football?
There's Ray. All right, we hear you now. That's Ray, and I'm Tay. Ray, tell them what's up, man.
Well, if you're ready for some football, come join us for the ride. We'll talk college football. We'll talk NFL. We'll talk previews. We'll talk divisions. We'll talk Super Bowls.
Super Bowl?
Can the Seahawks repeat?
That is the question, right? It hasn't been done since the Patriots in 05, so that's a big question.
Yeah, after the 03 and 04 seasons, it's been a decade. Can you imagine?
It's definitely hard to imagine. So listen, everybody wants to, you know, join in. Give us your Super Bowl picks. The number is 718-664-9098. Like always, hit us up at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. We got a couple of emails, people sending in their Super Bowl picks. The website is rayandtaytoday.com. Check us out, Twitter, Facebook, and also we are with the Urban Daily. So check out the urbandaily.com and some of their Radio 1 affiliates. Ray, before we get into a little college football talk, because there were some great games over the weekend, let's hit them up with the NFL news. Roger Goodell finally dropped the hammer. What'd they do to the Colts owner, Jim Irsay?
He waits till the last minute, but he drops the hammer. So he put six games and $500,000 on the Colts owner, Jim Irsay. So
pretty fair.
I don't think there's a precedent for that, but it seems pretty
consistent. Well, that's the most
you
can do money-wise. Financially, that's the most he can do.
Right, but you know what? In this case, the games mean more than the money, because if you're already a billionaire and you already the value of every NFL team is over $1 billion, even on the low end, so you got to figure that's not going to hurt him. What, the six games and keeping him away from football, that's going to hurt him more.
Yeah, and away from Twitter as well, which is Ursa's favorite place. Now, also, before we get into it, just, you know, taking care of some news business. Michael Sam was not claimed, no practice squads, but it looks like now the Jerry Jones businessman, Michael Sam, the seventh largest jersey, they have no defensive line. Michael Sam has a physical with your Dallas Cowboys on Wednesday and might make it on their practice squad, which was increased by two guys. So there's 10 guys now in the practice squad. Will he play for the Cowboys this season, or will he stay on a practice squad? What do you think about that move?
Look, I think ultimately he'll play in a game. You would hope so, right? But apparently the NFL is so specialized. You know, when we were growing up, if you could play football, you could play football. But now you need to be a 4-3 defensive end, and if you're in a 3-4, you can't adapt to that system. I don't know. Call me crazy, but I'm still
right?
Old school. If you can play, you can play. So, apparently, in a 4-3 defensive scheme, which about half the teams play, he would be a candidate. Now, it turns out, in retrospect, probably the wrong team drafted him in St. Louis. They're just so deep at that position, and they actually need more help at linebacker. But I think the Cowboys might give him a shot.
I think it's a great move. I think it's smart. And as we know, after week one and week two, unfortunately, there will be a ton of injuries. Hey, positive note, Alex Smith gets his deal, his money over the weekend, four-year extension, a lot of money guaranteed. He's in the top 10 at quarterbacks guaranteed. I think it's interesting, you know, not to say anything, but I just, when I was looking at that list, I wasn't impressed with those guys, but none of the African-American quarterbacks are in that top 10. So it'll be interesting to see if Cam Newton and RG3 crack that top 10 in terms of, you know, money-wise, because Kaepernick's not in it, and a lot of those guys are better than Alex Smith. Also, J.J. Watt, the best defensive player of the game, for all of our fans in Houston, he got paid. Tell them how much, Ray. because it's a lot of money.
Yeah, you know, you never know in the NFL, right, in terms of how much he's actually taking home, because, you know, you're only guaranteed your guarantee, right?
Right, but the guarantee was huge.
Right, but they took care of Watt. I mean, what was it, $100 million?
Yep, and 51, I think, guaranteed.
$51 million guaranteed. Ooh.
Oh.
Go ahead, gosh. JJ. Get your money.
Hey, and he's great on and off the field, Ray.
Right,
so
he's got a good motor. He seems like he's a good guy in the locker room. He seems like he's got all of his ducks in order. So, yeah, good for him.
So let me ask you a question. We're talking about some of these monies, and there was a record set over the weekend for a gentleman who left Dallas, was going to retire, and now he's the backup quarterback in Buffalo. Kyle Orton is going to make $5.5 million this year as the backup, and I think he actually might be better than E.J. Manuel. That's interesting. And then Derek Carr, the first rookie to start this year, will start week one. He basically beat out Matt Schaub, and Matt Schaub's arm and elbow, he might be done. What are your thoughts about those two things?
I actually like Matt Schaub when he's healthy. I thought something horrible happened last year at Houston. I can't really explain it. I never thought he was an excellent quarterback like he was made out to be his first couple years in Atlanta when he left, or his first couple years in Houston when he left Atlanta from being Michael Vick's backup. I thought he would beat out Derek Carr. So I think physically he's not right. But having said that, at this point, you know, this is Derek Carr's job to lose, right? He's a young guy, big, strong arm. So that's that. You don't
good.
Like E.J. Manuel, huh? You don't like him up in Buffalo.
I
thought he was
honest.
A second or third round pick that they went too high to get him mid-first round. But this might be his make or break year. What do you think?
I think it is. And to be honest about E.J., I like him. I just don't see the well, we'll see. He was. It's unfair, right? He was injured a good amount last year. I thought our boy Thaddeus Lewis outplayed him for the Bills last year. So we'll see what happens. We'll give him a break. So let's jump into it, man. That's sort of the news. We clean it up. I will say this. Ray McDonald for domestic issues arrested over the holiday weekend, but he did say that when everything goes down, he'll be found innocent. And the Niners and Jim Harbaugh, interesting, you know, he has a hard stance on that. He's like, hey, nobody can play for me with that type of stuff. So we'll see what happens with them. I think the Niners, who I know you love so much, they are going into the season a real mess with Alden Smith and the injuries of Bowman and the defensive line. And the only good thing is they signed Alex Boone, the offensive lineman, for 2 years that was, sort of holding out the whole offseason. So that was, you know, a good thing. And then the Texans also, they get Ryan Mallett, and then they release Case Keenum, and Case Keenum gets picked up by the Rams to back up Sean Hill. So that's all the business and stuff before we get to our predictions and a preview. But let's talk about Todd Gurley, baby. For them Georgia Bulldogs, Ray, what was it, like 290-something all-purpose yards and 198 what? Yards rushing? Oh,
on 16 carries.
Wow.
I mean, they barely touched the ball. And he was just doing it. You know what? He just jumped out ahead and became the number one candidate for the Heisman. Now it's only week one, right? But,
right.
I mean, talk about an unbelievable performance. And he wasn't doing it against, you know, an FCS
team. Yeah,
I mean,
no
cupcake. This was, oof.
Week one, there's a lot of cupcake games. Clemson, Georgia, that's a legit game. And Clemson's not a bad team at all. So I was impressed. I got to say, Georgia looks like they got something for the SEC, especially with South Carolina getting spanked by Kenny Hill and Texas A&M and Coach Sumlin, who looks like they're going to be a player. I think Bama didn't look so good in their win. What did you think about
and
my
Bama has pick? Issues with two quarterbacks. You never want to have two quarterbacks.
Yeah. You're right about that. We've had Charles Davis on our show, and he said it too with the college, and we spoke about it last year. You know, if you got two, you really don't have one. So we'll see what happens there. I thought they didn't look too inspired. West Virginia almost beat them, and then they pulled away 33-23. What did you think about Florida State? They didn't seem too excited, but then, you know, Winston does what he has to do, and, you know, 370 yards later, a great 28-yard, his longest touchdown run, and, they beat Oklahoma State. What did you think about the defending champs?
You know, this is one of those glasses half full, glasses half empty. Excuse me. And I think in this case, I think the glass is half full because this is a team that is going to have a bullseye on their back every week, and all they have to do is win. They just want to get to that Final Four. That's what every team wants. And then you let your talent and your preparation and your quarterback lead you to another national championship if you're in Tallahassee or you're a Seminole fan. So, to me, the Oklahoma State team is a good team. And I saw some things that I liked if I'm a Cowboy fan. And J.W. Walsh kept them in the game. Can you ever say that somebody who went 25 for 40, 370 yards, he did throw two interceptions, but he had a touchdown, had a bad game? I mean, you look at Jameis Winston, and you're like, he had a bad game.
At the end of the day,
he did enough to win, and I think at this point, when you're the defending national champion, you don't care about style points. You care about victories, and you care about going 12-1 and getting to that Final Four and basically putting yourself in a position to win two games for a national championship. Was I a little disappointed in their execution? Of course. Game one of a regular season when you're the defending champs, you could actually lose that game. But they didn't lose, and it was fine. So for me, the glass is half full. Not full, half full. It was on a neutral court, a neutral stadium in Dallas, but you would think that more Oklahoma State fans may have been in the crowd. So I think it was okay. Just okay, but that you just win and move on.
Right. And Friday we'll talk about, obviously, NFL and some of the big college games for the weekend, because you got USC at Stanford. They're both ranked. And then the big matchup that everybody's drooling over on Fox, and our buddies Charles and Gus have that, Michigan State at Oregon. That's going to be amazing, 7-3. But we both picked Wisconsin, and the LSU Tigers and Les Miles, they did their thing. That was a huge comeback. What did you think about the LSU victory when Melvin Gordon went off for Wisconsin? Another Heisman potential winner at running back.
Yeah, you know, I actually thought for a minute that Wisconsin was going to seal the deal, but it turns out that LSU just had too much speed, too much defense, and Les Miles' formula, it took 45, 50 minutes, but eventually LSU was the better team. I was just, you know, we both predicted Wisconsin, so I thought that Wisconsin was going to hold on. A couple of first downs, a couple of drives, had they converted, they would have been in position. But
so
I don't know.
Are you saying they had too much posse?
Yes, they had. Ultimately, LSU had too much. If this was a 45-minute game, you know, if Wisconsin could have sat on the ball, that would have been different. But, they had too much. They had too much. And I guess we underestimated LSU. At least I did. I got to apologize. They got off to a slow start, but they eventually held it down. And, you know, the funny thing is, what they score? Outscored 15-0 in the fourth quarter. So it was really a tale of two halves, you know?
Definitely. Ray, I think that we got something hot off the presses. I think I'm reading here that Wes Welker is suspended 4 games.
Oh, wow.
So,
performance? Yeah, Wes Welker suspended 4 games, according to ESPN sources.
Wow.
For use of amphetamines.
Goodness gracious. You know what? NFL.
Well, he's got the concussion protocol to deal with, and now he's got a possible suspension.
Well, and I have my final fantasy draft tonight. Ray and I, you know, had a full weekend of drafting in leagues together. And so, you know, we'll get into that as we do our preview. And before we end the show, we will give you the opening game prediction for Packers, Seahawks, Thursday Night Football. So we will kick off with that. That's shocking, Ray. Wes Welker, I mean, people were concerned about the injuries, but now suspended for 4 games. And I got to ask you, with all this stuff, we're still waiting on, or at least I feel like we're waiting on, Greg Hardy from the Panthers. Is that not going to ever happen? Am I missing something? I mean, what do you think about that?
I don't know. You would think all the data is in place, so why isn't Roger Goodell making an announcement?
Or was
not
an official ruling on his incident because I think there was he said, she said, so maybe there hasn't been, I just don't know.
It might be.
And that's his new MO, where the commissioner is like, look, I'm going to let everything play out in the legal system, because Irsay went and changed his plea in court today. So as soon as he did and said, I admit to being guilty, then the hammer came down. So, okay, everyone listening, let's get ready. We're going to break it down. We're going to give you postseason awards, the records, the Super Bowl winner, and just all the nooks and crannies you need. Ray and Tay today. We'll be right back with our 2014 NFL preview, predictions and everything. And guess what? This is also the start of our third season, Ray and Tay Today. It's our favorite month, Ray.
Do you remember back in September, all the good times and lots of fun in September, y'all? A celebration in September, y'all. A celebration. Do you remember back in September, all the good times and lots of fun in September, y'all? A celebration in September, y'all. A celebration.
We're back, and we're back to talk NFL. Now, don't kid yourself. Jay likes September for many reasons, football being one of them, but also he's got a couple of birthdays coming up in the family.
I got a 15-year-old. In a couple of days, I will have a 15-year-old young man in my house. So, and we don't want to talk about how old I'll be, but that's next week. So let's jump into it. We'll start off with the AFC. We'll do division by division. I'm going to let you go first. We have some similarities, and we have some big disagreements. So let's get into it. The AFC East, Ray, what's going to happen?
I think the AFC East, like every year, is dominated by one team, and that's the New England Patriots. I think they go 11-5, and I think everything else is almost irrelevant. They run away with the division. They're the best team in the division, even with injuries, even with Gronk being questionable for week one, Belichick saying he might not play. Belichick was saying that he's not a sure thing.
Ooh.
So Gronk said he's playing, and then Belichick said not so fast. So I don't know. Maybe that's head games. Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
For the Dolphins.
But I think bringing in Wright from Tampa Bay was a big move. I think Kembrell Tompkins, and I think the emergence of Danny Amendola, if he can give him anything, but Julian Edelman, I think this team just continues to roll. So I got them at 11-5. I have my Jets, or our Jets, at 8-8. I have Miami slipping, regressing a little bit at 6-10, and I have Buffalo. Like you said, if you don't have a quarterback and there's question marks with E.J. Manuel, I have them fourth at 5-11.
Wow. Okay. Well, you know what? We're on the same page, man. I was a little bit generous just because I think this is going to be one of the top three secondaries in the NFL. And I've got Belichick, the three running backs, three-headed monster. They lose Blunt to the Steelers, but they draft James White, Vereen, and Ridley. I like Tim Wright there, and I like the secondary. And all their guys are back, defensively. So I like having Wolfork back, Mayo. These guys are healthy. Chandler Jones is even better and a stud now. Patriots 12-4. I got the Jets above 500. I think the offensive weapons, Jay Samara will develop a tight end, but I like the two-headed monster running back. The only thing Rex needs is cornerback play. I don't like what's happening there with the secondary. Maybe they'll pick up Champ Bailey. We'll look for that. We'll see. I would like to see them do that since he was cut from the Saints. Jets 9-7. The Dolphins, our buddy Hank, his Dolphins. This team, I still don't know if they fit the offensive line, Ray. But I think no Sean Moreno and Lamar Miller, I'm not excited about either, even though I like Moreno. I think he's not 100% healthy. And if you don't have a good line, it's hard to really run. Mike Wallace, has been so disappointing with that contract. And Tannehill will be improved, and their defense is good, but they will miss Rashard Jones, who got suspended. 8-8. The Buffalo Bills, I'll just simply say great defense, but not too much on offense. Even though I like Sammy Watkins, I don't think he'll be able to excel the way that he should in this offense. So, and I love the running game, but 4-12. That's my AFC East. AFC North, what you got?
Well, this division is warm in Tay's heart. He loves him some Steelers.
Here we
I'm
go.
I'm
going to
disappoint him and tell him that his Pittsburgh Steelers
You're
are going to come in third.
You're a bug.
They're
going
to go 8-8, and they're going to come in third. I still think Cincinnati and Baltimore are just a little bit better.
Can we tell the audience that you're jealous because you're a Cowboy fan? For those that don't know, I'm a Steeler fan. Ray is a Cowboy fan. Both of our second teams are the Jets, and then he likes the Chargers. Ray is jealous.
I'm not jealous. I call it like it is. If Pittsburgh's the best team, I'll call it. But I don't think Pittsburgh's the best team in this division. I like Cincinnati. I think that they are just on the verge of being a very good team. I like their young studs. I like their defensive line, even though they're dealing with some injuries, people coming back from injury a little bit. I love their offense. I think Andy Dalton, except for the playoffs, is a fantastic quarterback. And A.J. Green, and we talked about Hill, the rookie from LSU now, giving a little bit of a balance to the little guy, Gio Bernard. I love that offensive line, protecting for Andy Dalton. And then, you know, they have depth at receiver with Jones, and they have a couple of tight ends that can play in Tyler
Eifert.
Well, Sanu's
going to be the man. Remember, Marvin
Jones. And Mohamed Sanu as number two. Yeah, I mean, I just like that machine in the AFC North.
Do you think the tight ends will ever step up? Gresham and Tyler Eifert?
I think they're fine in terms of role players. Look, if A.J. Green is your star and you get explosive plays out of Gio Bernard, then you really don't need your tight end to be, you know, Antonio Gates. You just need your tight end to get you a couple of first downs, keep your drives alive, and basically create a threat up the middle. So can Tyler Eifert and Jermaine Gresham do that? Absolutely. And then your stud is A.J. Green. I mean, when A.J. Green steps on the field, a lot of times he's the best player on the field.
Yeah.
So I love them. And Baltimore, I went back and forth with Baltimore. You know, are they good? Yeah. Are they not good? They're missing Ray Rice for a couple weeks. Bernard Pierce, they can't really run if Ray Rice is not there. Even when Ray Rice is there, they can't run.
I know. He was bad last year. That's why I don't know why he's on your
fantasy
team. 4 yards
a carry.
So I don't like your running backs on your fantasy team.
I had to pick him up. I just got to think. New Rochelle's finest. He's ready for a bounce-back year. He's not 40, right? He's a young guy still, right? The pride of New Rochelle by way of Rutgers. I still think Baltimore at 9-7. I still think that bringing Steve Smith, adding another tight end to Dennis Pitta, Owen Daniels, giving Flacco another target. Basically, Torrey Smith is not on an island by himself trying to make plays. He's a 1A at this point in his career. Steve Smith is a 1A or a 2 at this point in his career. But if you add the
probably one of the best twos, yeah, exactly.
Right. I think Dennis Pitta at this point in his career is ready to step up. They gave him the money. So I like this Baltimore offense. I think that they're going to step up. The defense is obviously not historical standards what they're going to do, but I think they played okay. And last year they surprised. They surprised us last year, and I think they're going to do the same this year and finish 9-7. I think they're going to finish ahead of your Steelers. Now, I know you're going to disagree with that. I'll let you talk about Baltimore and Pittsburgh because those are your teams. And then I think Cleveland at 6-10.
Honey, what do you have the Steelers? 8-8? What do you got?
I have the Steelers at 8-8. Yeah.
Okay, and then you got Cleveland.
And then I have Cleveland at 6-10. I think they'll go maybe 2-4, and then Johnny Manziel will come in, and I think he'll win maybe 4 games. Josh Gordon being out really puts a dagger in their heart because I thought that Ben Tate, Josh Gordon, and Jordan Cameron are the foundation of a very good young offensive nucleus. You know they've got that great offensive line anchored by Joe Thomas, and if they got decent play from Hoyer or Manziel, you thought that offense would be able to move the chains a little bit. But losing Gordon is just the balloon. All the air came out of the balloon.
And a good defense, pretty good defense.
Very good defense, yes, led by Joe Hayden. And they've got a lot of talent.
Carlos
back there.
Dansby, yeah.
So,
you're right.
Picked up a few free agents.
I'm surprised, though. Six is a lot of wins. We'll see. Okay. All right, so look, my AFC North, look, I am not going to be a homer. I'm a diehard Steeler fan, but I agree with Ray. The Bengals, they're not the Bungles anymore, ladies and gentlemen. And I think they could be even better, but I have them at 11-5. They're going to miss Michael Johnson, who's down in Tampa, and I still have questions about an older secondary for Cincinnati. I have the Steelers coming in second, one of my wild card teams at 10-6. I think people are, you know, talking about our running backs and still saying Ben and the OC aren't together, Haley. I think it's all hogwash. I think Antonio Brown is one of the best receivers, top six, top seven receivers in the game, underrated. I like what we're doing with our, you know, the versatility at the running back. And watch Dre Archer. He is going to become a star. Special teams, third downs, everything. A little bit of Eric Metcalf. So I like the Steelers. I actually like the Ravens. You know, hey, nobody liked the whole Ray Rice incident, but, you know, New Rochelle guy, I think he's, for the most part, a good guy, going to turn it around. I don't know about that offensive line, but guess what? Flacco's going to have to step up, but not enough to make the playoffs, 9-7. And I got the Browns. I would have said your record, 6-10, if Gordon was there, maybe even 7-9. But without Gordon, they cut Nate Burleson. To rely on Andrew Hawkins and Miles Austin, yuck. 4-12 for Cleveland. Ray, AFC South.
So I think the AFC South has one good team. It's the Indianapolis Colts. I think they go 11-5. I love their young nucleus. I think Andrew Luck in 5 years is going to be the best quarterback in the NFL without question in 3 to 5 years. If Reggie Wayne can come back off his injury, T.Y. Hilton has emerged as a very decent receiver, almost a number one, you know, but certainly a number two or 1A. I think they get, you know, production out of the tight ends. They got a couple of tight ends.
What if Nick is healthy?
Right, and then
the
I was about to say, and then the gravy is Nick's. So if you can get Nick's, now their problem's always been at running back, and they brought
the
over
offensive line. It's horrible. Offensive line is a mess.
And the offensive line doesn't do anybody any favors. Ever since the good old days, you know, they haven't run very well last 3-4 years. They brought Trent Richardson over thinking he would be the answer, but he hasn't been. So that cost him a number one pick. You know, we thought
that
was a great trade at the time.
Yeah. And now you're like, a running back for a number one pick? That's insane.
Right. But I think they're the best team in that division. Tennessee –
What do you have their record? What do you got the
call? I like Indianapolis at 11-5. I think Tennessee is 8-8. Houston 7-9. Jacksonville's 3-13. So I think Houston is not as bad as their 2-14 record, but I don't think their window of competing for a Super Bowl, until they get a new quarterback, their window of competing for a Super Bowl I think is done.
Well, let me ask you with Houston, what week or if ever, but probably what week do you see Ryan Mallett coming in to start and take that team over?
I'm not sure he's the answer, but he will get a chance only because Fitzpatrick throws a lot of interceptions. And for a team that seems like is more disciplined than it was previously.
But you like the new coach, right? You like O'Brien. I like the new coach.
Yeah, I like O'Brien. Look, he worked with Tom Brady, so he likes that big, strong quarterback. He knows Mallett. So if there's any shakiness, any kinks in the armor, he might give him 3-4 weeks to learn the system. And then, you know, probably a lot left over from when he was in New England. So maybe Mallett takes over week 8 when they're 2-6, 3-5.
What week does Blake Bortles come in for the Jaguars?
I think Blake Bortles is in week 2 or 3 because they're holding him out is artificial now. I believe you and I both believe that you can hold a clipboard and there's nothing wrong with that as a quarterback. But if he's ready and Chad Henne is not a very good starting quarterback, he's not one of the 32 best quarterbacks, then it's just artificial. Then you're just sitting him for no reason.
And so, everybody in that locker room knows the truth.
Yeah, and everybody in the locker room sees the practice, and everybody in the locker room sees the preseason, and everybody in the locker room knows he's the better player. So you're not protecting him from injury. You're just saying he doesn't know, well, then throw him in the water, you know? And again, you and I are from the old school. We believe in it's not the worst thing in the world for you to sit out even a full year if you're a quarterback. Learn the game, learn the speed of the game, learn how to read defenses, learn how to read the game from the sidelines. But I think at this point it's artificial. I think Blake Bortles starts sooner than later. I think Manziel will start by game 6 or 8, and I think Bortles will start by week 3 or 4.
And what about Teddy?
Most.
Does he get to start this year? Teddy Bridgewater in Minnesota?
I could see Teddy sitting the whole year only because they don't want to shake. It depends on how well they do, but I don't think they want to shake it up too much. I think that Matt Castle, people like him up there.
Yeah.
So they like him. They like the veteran, the stability, the leadership, and they basically just are like, get the ball, you know, hand the ball to Peterson. And, you know, they have a nice little trio there with Kyle Rudolph and Cordarrelle Patterson and Greg Jennings, you know, drinking from the fountain of youth. So
with AP, yeah. No,
yeah,
right.
I think that he goes longer. He goes unless Minnesota's 1-7, you know.
Okay.
And then,
I'll say week 10. I'll say like week 10 for him. So, okay, my AFC South, totally agree with you with the Colts. My only question with them is the offensive line, and I think you do a disservice to not just, you know, and by the way, our boy Bradshaw from the Giants, he'll be starting running back by week 2 or 3 for Trent Richardson. Trent Richardson is just, as they used to say, what would they say? That's not it. Like, no, that's not it. That's not it. So I got the Colts 11-5, but, you know, like you said, Andrew Luck, he's the cat's meow, the best of all these young quarterbacks, but without question. Tennessee. I was going back and forth with this, and I was wondering, should I switch them at Houston or slide down a game? I think Tennessee is going to be a dangerous team, sneaky. Even week 1, they could upset Kansas City. I got Tennessee at 7-9 now. I'll go Houston, and maybe we'll see something out of Jake Locker. Maybe, you know, he does enough to keep his job at least and stay healthy, number one. But Houston, Ryan Mallett, I think, will be in by no later than week 7, and I think they'll be 5-11. But they're headed in the right direction, especially if they stay healthy. Clowney and Cushing and Watt, that defense, I think secondary, they're headed in the right direction. And then the Jaguars, it's unfortunate, but I think Toby Gerhardt will do good, Cecil Shorts, Marquise Lee. Bortles, I'd put him in there, like almost like Derek Carr. I'd put him in there week 1. Why play around with Chad Henne? It's just annoying. But anyway, he'll be in there, I'd say, Blake Bortles by week 6, and they're going to go 4-12. AFC West, Ray, break it down.
So with this news of Wes Welker, I might take a game off, but I'll stick with my original prediction is that the Broncos have the best record in the AFC. They go 12-4. I think not losing the Super Bowl, but how they lost the Super Bowl will sit on them and be a weight that will drive them and motivate them.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the Broncos at 12-4. Pretty much you get the same team as last year that got slapped around in the Super Bowl. You bring back Von Miller. Hopefully he's recovered from his ACL. You bring a DeMarcus Ware that needs to be, you know, rejuvenated.
Yeah.
That will be rejuvenated, I believe.
And healthy, yeah.
Healthy, yeah. So you bring back also, you know, they add in the secondary Aqib Talib and
T.J. Ward.
T.J. Ward at safety. So this team, you know, took a team that went to the Super Bowl and could have beaten, I think, almost any other team except for a Seattle team, like a matchup team that just punched them in the jaw and they couldn't recover. But you take that team and you add some talent to that team, and the only person they of significance, of real significance that they lose is obviously Eric Decker. Noel Moreno, I guess.
But they bring in Emmanuel Sanders, who I think is actually a little bit better than Decker. I think people are sleeping on
him. He might just be. And by the way, on a fantasy note, if you didn't pick up Emmanuel Sanders, pick him up because with Wes Welker being suspended 2 games, plus he's going to be closely scrutinized with the concussion protocol, Emmanuel Sanders looks a lot better.
Yeah, he does. So who you got in second place?
So I got the Broncos running away with that division at 12-4.
I'm surprised.
And then after that, sorry, what's that?
No, I'm just surprised that you're second and third placing. I think you're disrespecting the Chargers, but go ahead, tell everybody.
No, I think the Chiefs and the Chargers both are 8-8. and the Raiders bring up the rear at 4-12. I think the Chiefs peaked last year around midseason. I like the fact that they gave Alex Smith the money. I love Jamal Charles. Dwayne Bowe is an enigma to me. But Tom Bali in Houston, and that defense is still good, very good at times. The offense is good, if not, sort of vanilla. So I think Andy Reid's going to have to bring some of his Philly gunslinger attitude there. Alex Smith is a good caretaker. He's better than a caretaker. He's a decent quarterback, Alex Smith. I think they're missing something. I just look at that team, and I just think, you know what? They play great in Arrowhead, but on the road, I don't know.
Well, they don't have good cornerbacks. Eric Berry is good at safety, but their corners are not good. And Donnie Avery is your number two receiver. Now, I do like DeAnthony Thomas, but I know what you mean. Like, they're not – you feel like there's no
Some of that is missing. So that's them. And then I know a lot of people like the Chargers. And I look at this Charger team, and I still think that when is Ryan Matthews going to step up?
He started good last year. He played good again this year. Watch.
He had a few good games, but he's always been hurt. You can't consistently give him the ball. He's not a guy you can give the ball 25 times, 20, 25 times a
Woodhead
game.
And don't sleep on Donald Brown.
Yes, Woodhead and Brown are solid players. And you know who I love on that team is Keenan Allen. I mean, I loved him at Cal. They were lucky to get him as a third-round pick. He's really a first-round talent, top of the first-round talent, top 15 guy. So he's nice. And now they have an heir apparent tight end Green to our boy Antonio Gates. So I like what they're doing in San Diego.
That second wild card, you have the Chiefs ahead of the Chargers for the second wild card in AFC.
That's on a tiebreaker. I could see the Chargers taking it, but they're both 8-8. So I had to flip a coin and say, prediction that the Chiefs win the tiebreaker. I think the Chiefs will beat them 2-0, and then they'll win that second wild card tiebreaker.
Okay.
Oakland's just in a world of hurt because if you don't have a quarterback, you're going for it.
Carr's
going
to be better than most people think, though. I actually like Carr. I think he's promising.
I like him next year.
Okay.
I like Derek Carr next year.
Okay. All right. So my AFC West, Tay says, boom, Denver. And look, bringing Sanders in is great because now even if, you got Welker out 4 games, guess what? You got Caldwell there who could step up. The tight end, Julius Thomas, is going to be better this year. My only question, I don't know if Monte Ball is ready yet to do what Moreno did. I don't know if he's the pass blocker that Sean Moreno is, and he seems like he likes to fumble the ball. So Ronnie Hillman could very easily house his spot because Peyton Manning does not play if you don't protect him and also fumbling. So just watch that. I think Denver does have a couple of injuries that are not too good on the defense, but overall Denver is going to be Denver, and Manning is going to have another great year, probably under 50 touchdowns, but high 40s, 12-4. I totally disagree with Ray. I think the Chargers are one of the most underrated teams. Remember, when they played Denver head-to-head during the season, they played them tough both times, and they smacked them in the mouth that one time at Qualcomm or whatever the stadium is for the Chargers, and they beat them. I have them as a wild card with the Steelers, and I have the Chargers at 10-6. Kansas City, I agree with you. Only thing I say about Kansas City, DeAnthony Thomas is someone to watch out for. I don't really love Dwayne Bowe. He's out of game. Donnie Avery, I don't know what else they have there, receiver. And Jamal Charles will run for 2 billion yards. I have the Chiefs at 7-9. You could line them out at wideout. And the Raiders, I only have them at 5-11. But I think with all the veterans they brought over, they're going to be improved. And I like the rookies. I just think that what they need is next year, the veterans to play for 2 years, which they all got 2-year deals. And I think next year they could be 8-8 or better with Carr getting better. And if we see a rejuvenation from McFadden and Maurice Jones-Drew, that would be awesome. And I think Maurice Jones-Drew is ready to prove that he's still a legit running back. I like Rivera at tight end. James Jones is a good sleeper at fantasy wide receiver. Denarius Moore. So the Raiders, 5-11. And, you want to break down our AFC playoffs before we go to NFC? Let's just complete.
I have All right, we probably have a difference because we have different teams even making the playoffs. So,
oh, yeah.
for me, I have Cincinnati over Kansas City in the first round. They finally win their playoff game under the Andy Dalton era. Indianapolis over Baltimore in that first round. And then going deeper into the playoffs, I have New England taking out Cincinnati, Denver taking out Indianapolis. And then the AFC Championship game, I have Denver beating New England. So
wow.
Number one and two seeds, yep.
Okay, so basically a repeat
very
of last
similar to this year.
Yeah,
last year, yeah.
To last year's whole scenario, just a little twist. So for me, I got things just a little bit different. So my wild cards are the Steelers and the Chargers. So, but in the first round, I've got the Steelers upsetting the Colts because I think at the end of the day, Pittsburgh, unlike the Chiefs, couldn't close the deal last year against the Colts. The Steelers, our defense is younger and faster, and I think Big Ben is ready and they can score some points, and I think they can go to Indianapolis and win. But I think also Cincinnati this year will not lose to San Diego, and I think Cincinnati gets their playoff win and they beat the Chargers. And then in the divisional round, I've got Denver over my Steelers. Kind of takes me back to when Tebow beat us and hurt my heart, but I just think the Steelers won't be able to stop all those wide receivers. We're not Ike Taylor's a little bit too long in a tooth, and our secondary is a little weak, although we have some talent there. And then I have the Patriots over Cincinnati. So my AFC title game is Denver, New England, just like you repeated last year. I think most of the people in the football world have this, but I've got Tom Brady and Belichick and that defense and Revis Island going to the Super Bowl and beating the Denver Broncos.
So you have that game in Denver or in Foxborough?
That game is, let's see, let me just check my, I have that game, it's going to be
12-4, so you, this
yeah,
is the tiebreaker, I guess.
I have that in Foxborough, yeah. They're going to win at home and go to the Super Bowl. So let's jump to the NFC, the best conference, by far the best conference in football. AFC is top heavy, but NFC is deep.
Deep.
So, this is your division,
think,
Ray. Your heart is here.
Yeah, and I'll start at the bottom. I have my Cowboys bringing up the rear. I think they'll be 6-10 with a historically
started from the bottom, and we're here
with a historically bad defense. I don't think you get much better that quicker. I think their offense has a lot of talent. I like this kid, Terrence Williams, who's joining Dez Bryant. They lose Miles Austin, but for the last 2 years, he's had hamstring problems. I think Jason Witten, his best games are behind him. He moves the chain. He's a bit of a security blanket for Romo. I hope the offensive line can stay intact. They did obviously draft an offensive lineman early. So,
yep, a good offensive line.
I think so, finally. And,
got to give him the ball.
And Jerry Jones remembered that when he won those Super Bowls, he had a fantastic offensive line. So he went back to that. Having said that, the defense is still terrible. Tony Romo cost you a game or two in terms of close games at the end of the season, at the end of a game. So I like the Cowboys. I don't like it, but I predict my Cowboys to be 6-10. One game worse than the Giants. I think the Giants are 7-9. I think the Giants have a lot of question marks. Eli Manning, sorry, this is his last year under this contract. They have a way to get out the Giants. I don't know if they will, but this is a show-me year. He had a terrible year, led the league in interceptions. I think it's the third time he's led the league in turnovers at the quarterback.
Talk about an enigma.
Yeah,
and Odell Beckham, they said today, Odell Beckham Jr. might not play to week 4 or 5. Who even knows?
Right. And then Beckham's hurt, which means everybody who has Reuben Randall, that's your guy, play him. He's going to get a lot of burn. Victor Cruz in the slot. Again, I think he's not an elite. I know you drafted him a couple times. I know he's not an elite quarterback. He's very good, but I don't think he's elite. I think they have questions at running back. Is Andre Williams going to step up and be the man? Is that offensive line?
I think running back is their strong point. You got to worry about that offensive line. Andre Williams and Rashard Jennings are good to me.
I don't like Rashard Jennings, actually. I think he's overrated. I think he was up and down. He was terrible in Jacksonville, and then he went to Oakland and did a little bit. Is that offensive line? You're right, though. Ultimately, it comes down to, will that offensive line do anything? So all you sports fans in New York, if you see me in the street, don't kill me, but I think your Giants are going 7-9. So then the question is, all right, who is better, the Eagles or the Redskins? So I like the Eagles winning this division at 10-6 and the Redskins coming up behind them at 9-7. I think the Redskins get a bounce-back year from RG3. I love Jordan Reed. I love the pickup. You know, for his first 2 years, he'll be great, Deshaun Jackson. Then he'll want money, and then they'll be disgruntled, and then whatever. But for the first couple years, he's going to be great. So you add Deshaun Jackson to Reed and Pierre Garçon. And, I mean, that's just, oof, that's scary right there. And Alfred Morris can run, and RG3. Remember, when you have a knee injury in ACL, it's that second year. That's your year. So this is RG3's second year, full training camp. Not that will he play, will he not play, is he in training camp, is he not. So I like them. I like them to go 9-7 in a tough division. But ultimately, Chip Kelly and his Eagles. Nick Foles comes back to reality a little bit. I don't think he goes 26 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. I don't think he does that again. I think he has a normal, you know, a very good season for a quarterback. And I think losing Deshaun Jackson hurts them. But I think they're bringing Darren Sproles and having that depth at running back and having the depth at receiver that they have. They don't have the explosiveness. But if Jeremy Maclin, again, 2 years removed from the ACL, and Riley Cooper and the
young kid from Vanderbilt. I like Jordan Matthews.
Yeah, Matthews. Like him, sure. Zach Ertz. I know you like some Zach Ertz.
No, Zach Ertz and Selleck. Nice dynamic duo.
Selleck, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Depth at tight end. I think they don't have problems on offense. The question for Philly the last 4 or 5 years has always been their defense. I think they'll do enough to win that division and go 10-6.
Okay. Well, I'm going to take it from the top. I agree with you with Philly. I have them at 11-5. I think they're a dangerous team, and I think their defense is going to get better. Chip Kelly is going to get more of a rhythm, and I think linebackers will be in a state of confusion with two tight ends, two running backs. He's going to run crazy sets. Ertz, Sproles, Shady McCoy, and Selleck. It's going to be bizarre out there, and watch all the toys just go. It's going to be like a video game. So I got the Washington Redskins at 8-8. I just think they're up and down. The defense looked better in preseason, but, you know, without having Fletcher there, their leader, I'm not too sure. Mayweather suspended for 2 games. I think it was smart to bring in Ryan Clark, but he's a little long in the tooth, even though, you know, he seems like a great guy and will help them mentally. I just don't know. It is a big year for Arakpo. He's going to have to get sacks more than 10. He's going to have to get 12 sacks season to really make this a decent defense. I think the Giants, like you, 7-9, they're going to struggle. I think they better hope their running game is the shining light. They don't really have a tight end. I don't know what they're really doing. This is not really a true West Coast system. You know, McAdoo coming over for the Packers. And it's just going to be fascinating to watch. But they will have top 3 or 4 corners and secondary in football, all the guys they picked up. So I like the Giants on that side of things. And your Cowboys, all I can say is DeMarco Murray needs to run for 1,600 yards. But I still say 5-11. But DeMarco Murray...
even worse than I have.
Yeah, and DeMarco Murray is the key for you guys to even get to 8-8. But they need to also give Dez Bryant that contract. I know they were working on it, but it hasn't happened. I think you'd have a better year and better peace and harmony if he gets his deal. I'm not saying he's going to act a fool or anything, but I just think it's time to pay the guy because he is really top 3 or 4 receivers in the game. So that's my NFC East. The Eagles are taking that division. NFC North, break it down.
I think the best player in football, maybe the best quarterback in football, even with Peyton Manning out there, I think I would take this guy, Aaron Rodgers, to start my team. I think he leads the Packers to 12-4. I'm worried about a few things on the Packers. So they're actually will be a flawed 12-4 if they were to make it all the way as far into the playoffs as I have them going. But Cobb, Boykins, Jordy Nelson. Is that invoking any fear in you? I don't know.
A young tight end, Richard Rodgers, is their tight end. You're like,
right, Rodgers, because, right, Jermichael Finley, you thought he'd be there for a long time, but unfortunately injuries got to him, and so we hope Jermichael is all right listening to the show. Question marks on defense, right? They brought over some help on D. What's that?
Our Tar Heel.
Our boy, yeah, from the basketball team, Julius Peppers, right? So they brought over Julius Peppers, who I think also could use a little resurrection, you know, some Ponce de Leon, you know, find that fountain of youth again. But I think him on the other side, Clay Matthews, they still have questions in the secondary. Their linebackers are okay. You know, it's funny, I look at this team, and maybe I'm putting too much faith in Aaron Rodgers, but I see them going 12-4.
Without B.J. Raji, I think you're
B.J. Raji going down, plugging up the middle, our boy from Boston College, that hurts. That hurts. So maybe I'm jumping on faith. Maybe I'm thinking Aaron Rodgers is going to sit back and say, look, I'm better than everybody. Come ride me. Ride me.
Talking about deep water faith, right?
That might be deep water. Just like Tony Romo loses you a game or two in the fourth quarter, Aaron Rodgers wins you a game or two in the fourth quarter. And I think this division is brutal. So I think the Packers go 12-4. I think the Bears go 10-6. The Bears offense, if they don't – now, they're playing outdoors, and you never know how the weather will affect them. But if this offense doesn't score 25-30 a game, shame on them. I mean, they have all the talent from a GM perspective.
Loaded.
You have everything you could want, big, strong receivers. I mean, between Alshon Jeffrey, Martellus Bennett, and Brandon Marshall, who just got the money.
Holmes
just got paid.
Holmes is your third receiver.
Yeah, and Matt Forte can catch out of the backfield. And I mean, this team is for real. So if this offense can do its thing, and if the defense can recover – from a couple of down years. Again, they made some free agent moves. You know, is Jared Allen going to be? You know, I think he's a great pickup for them.
Yeah, I like that move.
I like this team. I like this team to go 10-6, give the Packers a run for the money, but ultimately fall a little short. The team that could give them a run for the money also is the Lions at 9-7. We keep waiting for them to break through. They went and drafted Ebron because they're not really satisfied with their tight end play to take some pressure.
Right, Pettigrew drops the ball too much. We all know that.
Yeah, to take some pressure off of Megatron. And then they brought Golden Tate over from the defending champs from Seattle. And that D, you know, if that D can stay disciplined, you know, their front four, their front seven is really good. They've had some issues in the secondary, but I think they're still a really good team. So 9-7 in a brutal division is actually not that bad. They might win one more game, go 10-6. Matt Stafford, you know, we thought 2 years ago when he threw for 5,000 yards, he was on the verge of stardom.
Caldwell should help
really
him, though.
Good.
Caldwell and Lombardi, the OC, should really help his maturation.
Yeah. I believe so. To have an offensive guy as your head coach and a quarterback coach, no less, to put his arm around you and talk to you, I think that you're right. And it's right at the perfect time in his career, too. And then at the bottom of that division, unfortunately, my main man, Adrian Peterson, is going to suffer through a 4-12 season. I don't think anything in the preseason, the offseason, leads me to believe that they'll be much better than they were last year. I think Matt Castle combined with Teddy Bridgewater together aren't even a very good quarterback tandem, either one individually or both of them together. And I just think in that neighborhood, they got to play six games against Green Bay, Chicago, and Detroit. They might go 0-6 in their division. So that's just brutal. So I think that they're relegated to 4-12.
Well, you know what? We agree on this order and some of the records too. I think Green Bay is studly. I'm not too sure about the defense. I think drafting Clinton Dix should definitely help them. The B.J. Raji injury really, I think, is going to come to haunt them in the playoffs. in the running game. But I have them at 11-5. They take the title. The Bears, 10-6. Their defense cannot be as bad as it was last year. They're going to get better. I like Jaren Allen, and I think he's the type of guy to, you know, stir some things up for the team, the locker room, and his work ethic. He comes to work every day, and that offense, like you said, is not much I can say. And I love having Santonio Holmes as a third receiver, and I think Brandon Marshall will keep him in line. That team could be deadly, the Bears. Watch them. The Lions, 7-9. I have them a little bit worse than you. I don't like the secondary, and I think Nick Fairley has not stepped up the way he should. All that talent, he's got weight issues. And Sue, I don't know with the contract and everything. We'll see, but I just don't know with the Lions, although that offense is insane. And I got the Vikings at 4-12, although I think they're headed in the right direction. Coaching staff, North Turner, the young talent, but they're just another year away, which sucks for AP. Maybe next year they could try for the playoffs. NFC.
Yeah, I want to see AP under North Turner's tutelage as an offensive player.
Yeah, I say he catches about 40 balls. Yeah, I think he catches about 40, 50 balls this year, screen passes and everything.
Yeah,
so
think about what
NFC
he did with LaDainian.
Oh, yeah.
NFC South, I got to go with New Orleans. I think they're the class of the division. They go 11-5. I love Drew Brees. I think, if all falls apart, he's still a top quarterback, and he'll win you some games, close games. I think he's a great leader. We saw that, you know, having Drew Brees versus not having Drew Brees. They signed Jimmy Graham. They had to lose a few players, though, in order to do that. I think that ultimately hurts them in their quest to win a Super Bowl. They drafted the kid from Indiana, Kenny Stills. Can he step up?
Brandon Cooks from Oregon
Brandon
State.
Brandon Cooks, yeah, from Oregon State, sorry, not from Indiana. Mm. Marcus Colston, you know. What do you think about Marcus? So he's getting up there. They have a tandem of running backs that I think both are pretty good, but nobody's really great. Mark Ingram, Pierre Thomas, Kyrie Robinson.
Robinson, don't sleep on Kyrie.
Yeah.
That's my guy.
Yeah, so they got three running backs, and if anybody can integrate them into the offense, Sean Payton can. Defense is still a little bit of a question mark. Who's their leader? You know, Jonathan Vilma was there for a few years leading the charge. Who's maybe wasn't the best player at the end, but, you know, who's their leader, right?
Well, probably
who's
Cameron Jordan on the defensive line.
Yeah,
but I like that secondary, the best safety tandem. Vaccaro and
you like
and,
the young kid Vaccaro from Texas.
Yeah, he's a hitter. Him and Bird. You know, you can bring over the Bird from the Bills.
Yeah, that's
so
what I was about
I like
to say. Coming
defense,
up.
Yeah.
But I think Jerry's Bird is overrated already. I think, a couple years ago in Buffalo, he was the man. I don't know if he still has it. But, yeah, but Bird and Vaccaro at safeties are kind of nice. Still have Malcolm Jennings at cornerback, and then, I think they're the best team in this division, and I think it helps them a lot that Carolina, that was breathing down their neck, obviously won the division last year, Luke Kuechly winning Defensive Player of the Year. I think Carolina's not that good this year. I think Atlanta might sneak over them and go 9-7, and Carolina with no offensive talent. I mean, you know, Cam Newton is Cam Newton, but you're relying on a rookie wide receiver in Benjamin, really, to be the only person that is explosive on that team. I mean, their running back tandem, I don't know what happened. 2-3 years ago, we thought, oh, you add D'Angelo Williams to a team.
Stewart
and
Colbert, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And you thought, all right, this threesome is the best running back, and plus Cam Newton, this foursome is the best running back squad in the league. And it turns out that they just somehow couldn't do it. And then you lose Steve Smith, you lose Brandon LaFell, you go get Benjamin from Florida State, but you're not giving Killer Cam talent on offense. And what did
I
we
think
learn?
The GM should be ashamed of himself. You don't do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, what did we learn
for quarterback
with
in
Manning?
Year 3, 4, yeah, developing.
If
you
he's
him,
your
you
best
give
player,
him weapons, huh? Yeah.
You got to give him weapons. Your D is great. Ron Rivera is a defensive coach. He's also a riverboat Ron. He's a gambler. I just think this team got worse from last year, a lot worse. So I have them at 8-8. I wouldn't be surprised if they only win 6 or 7 games, frankly. And then finally, Tampa Bay. You know, they are young. I like picking up Mike Evans. So if you have Vincent Jackson and Mike Evans on both sides, wow, that's a big, you know, receiver core that looks a lot like the folks in Chicago.
Yeah.
I think Doug
Josh
Martin
McCown.
Next year is going to be the truth. You know, whenever you come back from an injury, that first half season, I don't know how good you're going to be. Josh McCown is a question mark. So to me, this Tampa team, watch out for them next year. But I think this year they have a bad year and they go 4-12.
What about the Falcons?
Falcons at 9-7. I actually think are going to surprise people. They weren't as good as their 13-3 a couple years ago.
So when they lost Sam Baker, Ray, that was and Weatherspoon on defense. I think their injuries and not having Gonzalez there, and Steven Jackson starting off the year a little banged up. I'm worried about the Falcons.
I think Steven Jackson will be all right. I think they have a little bit of depth at running back now. I think Julio Jones.
I hope Jake Matthews is like a superhero.
Yeah. No, that's an issue for sure. I think Julio Jones is going to step. I think Roddy White still has gas in the tank, and I think Julio Jones is going to step up and be a top 5 wide receiver. I mean, he's bigger, better, faster, much stronger. I mean, if he can stay healthy, he's the truth. And you know Matt Ryan, I have feelings for Matt Ryan. This is his time, though. He really needs to step up and carry this team. And he's a guy that's going to have to himself win a couple games if they go 9-7. Because talent-wise, you're right.
He gets
they're a
7-9
team.
Though. You know, you rush him in that pocket. That's the one criticism I'd say nowadays with the defense is so strong and athletic and this and that. You almost would say, you know what, I want the running quarterback a little bit, even if it's like a Luck or a Rodgers or Russell Wilson. I want an athletic quarterback because you see with Brady, Manning, and a Matt Ryan, you can't really move. If you get a rush up the center, they are just dead ducks and they get shook. So that's my only problem with him. So, all right, well, let me break down my NFC South. I totally agree with you with the Saints, but I have them even better. I got them at 13-3.
Wow.
They're going to miss Vilma, but I like that defense, and I think the defensive coordinator is amazing. I think that they are going to – Sean Payton is going to have some trickery. Kyrie Robinson will be stud. Mark Ingram and Pierre Thomas wake up a little bit. But I just think Brandon Cooks with Graham, Colston, they'll miss Lance Moore. But I think Kenny's still a little banged up, but he'll get healthy. I think they're going to be explosive, and they've got the right recipe, and Drew Brees is Drew Brees. I have Carolina coming in second and really dropping off, right? Since this NFC South has developed, nobody's ever been repeat division champs. Well, that continues. Carolina's at 7-9. I just think it's disgusting what they did to Cam Newton. You don't do that to a quarterback. I mean, nobody could do this, not Manning, not Breeze, Rodgers. You can't do that. And Calvin Benjamin, look, I like Jericho Cotchery and Jason Avant, but they're both like number threes. So, you know, you're putting this guy in a bad position. And Greg Olsen is a slow, old tight end now. And the running backs are getting older, too. So they're second place by hair, really. I might not even stay in second. I got Tampa at 5-11. I was rotating back and forth, but the Falcons' injuries just really have thrown me for a loop. I don't think they're going to be that tough. So I got Tampa, who's going to be improved. But, you know, I'm not 100% on McCown, even though I think he's, you know, good. I still worry about that defense, although I like some of their studs. Michael Johnson coming over, they'll be better. Avante David is a star. And Mark Barron at safety is great. So they're 5-11, but they could easily wind up surprising people, be 7-9, 8-8. And then the Falcons, 5-11, who could get a little bit better, but I just think I don't think they're tough enough. You know, Hard Knocks is, you know, talking every week they're talking about how tough and strong they want to be. I don't really believe it or see it. Jake Matthews needs to do a whole lot for that team. He's just one lineman. So I have them at 5-11 tied with the Tampa Bay. NFC West, Ray, break it down.
So I have the two elite teams tied here, and I think it comes down to a tiebreaker, and I'm going to say San Francisco wins the tiebreaker. So at 11-5, I think San Francisco and Seattle are both 11-5. And the Seattle going 11-5 and not, 13-3 or 12-4 is more just human psychology. I mean, I think that for the most part, everybody came back. I mean, they lost Golden Tate, of course, but they get a healthy Percy Harvin, and you'll take that trade every day, yeah. Percy Harvin for Golden Tate. for the regular season. Obviously, they had them both in the Super Bowl. But if you can have a healthy Percy Harvin all year long, that's, you know, if his migraines and his body hold up, it's a game changer. But defending champs always have issues, right? And I don't know if you'll see it in the regular season, but I have a sneaky suspicion that they won't run away with the NFC West. And in fact, I have them tied with San Francisco at 11-5. I think San Francisco, they signed Boone. That's a good thing. They have some clarity now in terms of Aldon Smith. They know where he is. Vernon Davis got his money. I think that Carlos Hyde, actually, you called it, despite some heckling from some of our Twitter followers, that
yeah,
they would draft
him. Yeah, they give you some props on Twitter, man.
No, no doubt. I think they have a lot of depth at running back. I love Colin Kaepernick. I think this is the year that he really shows that he's an elite quarterback. So,
really?
To me, these two teams are a hair apart. And I think that in this case, San Francisco wins the tiebreak, but they both go 11-5. I mean, what more can you say? These two might be the two best teams in the NFL, two best teams in the NFC West. Now, of course, with Aldon Smith going down, you could argue that changes the game. But I still think that they'll be just fine. Maybe, again, deep water faith in the Niners. I think they've been the best team in football for the last 3 years. And I
You're
going to
miss Navarro
continue.
Bowman, though.
Navarro Bowman. And, you know, Patrick Willis really has to reinvent himself, go back to the way he was 2-3 years ago, because it was looking like Navarro Bowman passed him. And now Patrick Willis has to reassert himself as the best linebacker in the game. But I think they both go 11-5. I think Arizona, again, your Cardinals, man, they're fine. They're a good team. They just happen to be in the wrong division. I think they'll go 9-7. I like your boy Ellington. I like some of the size. Again, they have big receivers too.
Yeah, Michael Floyd and Larry,
Floyd and Larry Fitzgerald. Carson Palmer is on the back end of his career, but his arm can still get it done. To me, they still have a very solid, even though Washington, I can't believe, again, he's got issues there in Washington.
And then when they lost Darnell Dockett, that's what put it over the edge for me, and them dropping them game, you know, down. Dockett is a star on the line.
Yeah, he was the heart and soul there. And so, but I still think they're good. I still think they're pretty good. And other than playing those four games against San Fran and Seattle, I think they'll go 9-7. And then finally in that division, I have St. Louis going 3-13. I just think losing Sam Bradford took the air out of that team. I still don't like, you know, Tavon Austin as kind of your go-to, you know, receiver, playmaker. Zach Stacy's turned out to be a heck of a player. I wanted to like their D is still very good. I just think their offense is terrible.
You're not down with Kenny Britt? What about Kenny Britt, you know?
Kenny Britt has to show. Well, the Show Me State, right? Missouri. Yeah. Kenny Britt has to show me.
And they got my Terrapin. Yo Terps. Can we get a Yo Terps for Sean Hill?
Your boy Sean Hill. And it's funny because they put Sean Hill's numbers up against Sam Bradford's numbers. It turns out his numbers are a little bit better. Smaller sample size, but his numbers are a little bit better.
You know what? He's a pretty good quarterback. He's not that bad.
Yeah. Well, I still think they're going 3-13. They'll be the worst team in football.
Oof, that's rough. All right.
Them in Jacksonville, yeah.
Okay, well, my NFC West, I think what you're talking about, those hangovers with Super Bowl champs, I think that there's a different mentality, and Pete Carroll is a different guy. I think he's the best motivator, 62. He's got his hand on and the pulse on the team. I think the Seahawks go 13-3. I think they're going to be amazing, and I think Russell Wilson's going to take a step up. I think he's going to be a little bit better this year. Jermaine Kearse will be better. Percy Harvin, yeah, they'll miss Tate, but those two guys being there and being better, and I think Marshawn Lynch will have a little bit more help. Turbin, and if not Turbin, Christian Michael, but I think the defense. I think they're still really tough, and that Legion of Boom is just deadly. And they lost a couple of guys, but not enough, and the key guys are still there. And their young guys are hungry. I mean, look, the Super Bowl MVP will play more. You know, Malcolm Smith and Bobby Wagner. I mean, they're going to be all over the place. The Niners, preseason doesn't matter, but I just don't like the way they looked. And Kaepernick, he was not in sync with any of his receivers, not even his best friend Crabtree, who I think is
that was bothersome.
And I think sometimes he tends to lock in on his first. He doesn't read the progression. He looks at his number one guy too much. So whether it's Bolden all day or Crabtree all day or Davis, and I think he doesn't go to Davis enough, and, you know, that's not good. I think Carlos Hyde is going to be a stud, though, and eventually will, you know, this might be Gore's last year as the main guy. Carlos Hyde is going to be a beast. So I have the Niners as a wild card at 10-6. Arizona, 9-7, losing Dockett and Wash for a bit. That's going to be tough. Patrick Peterson is right there as the best corner in football with him and Richard Sherman. Got to love Richard Sherman's new commercial. That's great. I think the Niners, the problem with I love Ellington and the receivers. Michael Floyd is going to be a stud. The problem I have with Arizona, though, besides losing those defensive guys, I don't – Carson Palmer will get you some bad interceptions, and I think that will hurt them. The Rams, I agree, but I just have them at 4-12 because I think they can win a game 10-6. Their defense is that good. So I have the Rams at 4-12. Let's go to the NFC playoff, and then we'll do the awards and then do the Super Bowl. So who's your NFC wild card week one in the playoffs?
So NFC wild card, I have Seattle. Remember, I have them in a tie break. Beating Philadelphia, who's the number three seed. Four or five. And then I have San Francisco over Chicago. So I think that excellent games. Think about those games. Seattle, Philly, San Fran, Chicago. Those are all great teams, and that would be a great wild card weekend. And then I continue, again, maybe it's deep water and maybe it's the hangover, but I have Green Bay beating Seattle because I think that game might be in Lambeau. And then I have San Francisco taking out New Orleans like they did a couple years ago to go to the Super Bowl. And then I have Green Bay beating San Francisco to go to the Super Bowl.
Wow. Okay, so then we won't do the pick yet, but you've got Green Bay versus Denver, right?
Yep.
Okay. All right, so my NFC playoffs. Whew, that's interesting. Well, my wild card, I've got the Niners over Green Bay. I think by that point, Kaepernick will have it together. And as great as Peppers is, I just don't think the Green Bay defense, they'll be able to stop Hyde and Gore up the middle running. And Kaepernick scrambling, he just breaks the hearts of teams. He's too much. And then I've got Philly in a battle over Chicago. And I'm talking like, you know, 30-27 playoff classic. So that's going to be a good one. I just think the Eagles will just, they'll have a little bit too much for the Bears. And cause some trouble for Cutler. Divisional round, I have New Orleans over San Francisco. I think they figure out a way to take down San Francisco, get tough enough with those three running backs, and just be able to play physical enough to be able to beat the Niners. I don't like the Niners' corners, and that secondary, they're asking a lot for Eric Reed to really, you know, be the head guy there. So, you know, their corners are now in Oakland, so I'm not too sure about that. So I got New Orleans beating the Niners, and then I have Seattle over Chip Kelly and the Eagles. I just think Seattle will be too much, and Philly traveling to Seattle is going to be a tall task for that offense. Those little receivers won't be able to handle the Legion of Boom. And even though with the concept of the pass interference calls this year, it'll be heavy the first two or three weeks, but then it'll be getting back to regular calls. And you know, you can't mug a guy, but, you know, you can stay with him a little bit. I think we're getting too much into the fantasy football world is affecting the real world. And then the NFC, we love fantasy football, but, you know, play some football, man. Go earn it. And then I have Seattle over New Orleans, and I think the Seahawks have the right mentality, the right head coach, the right quarterback, the right youth, speed. And I just watched today a little bit of that Super Bowl when they played it back on NFL Network. And I was amazed at how shook Denver was and how hard the hits were and just how they dominated. And, you know, you don't see it for so many months. You see it again.
From the first snap.
Yeah, you're like, wow, that Seattle team on any field, they are fast and they hit hard. So I have Seattle against New England in the Super Bowl. You want to do our postseason awards first before we announce our Super Bowl winner?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, so who's Rookie of the Year?
So my Rookie of the Year is a guy that's a little banged up right now, but I think he is by far the best receiver in the rookie class and might do like a Calvin Johnson did and just immediately insert himself in the elite rookie or elite wide receiver category, and that's Sammy Watkins. I think he was the truth at Clemson. I think he comes into the NFL, doesn't skip a beat, runs the whole tree route. He can do it all. He's got great hands. He's big. He's strong. He's got those dreads. We're down with the dreads. So Sammy Watkins, my man, Rookie of the Year.
I'm just worried about them ribs and not a quarterback to throw it to him, but I like Sammy too. I'm going with the receiver, and traditionally people look at running backs, but I'm going with the receiver as well. But I'm going to a guy who I think could be a legit number one and get you probably 7 touchdowns this year in the red zone. And I like Kelvin Benjamin. He will be the only real help for Cam Newton. And I think he's got a bright future, I think, in the NFL. And with Cam, they just need to get some other guys there with him. But Kelvin Benjamin's my Rookie of the Year. So who's your defensive player?
I said he needed to step up. I said his team is awesome. He used to be the best linebacker in the game. I like Patrick Willis to come back and win himself Defensive Player of the Year. I think he's got all the tools, all the skills. He just, and now with Navarro Bowman out, they're going to ask him to do more, and he'll do more. So I like Patrick Willis, the Ole Miss Rebel.
to do everything. You got to do everything. Well, I'm going with a linebacker too, but I'm going with the youth. And I'm going with an improved Tampa defense, and I like Lavonte David. I mean, he was in the top 3, I believe, in tackles last year. He got the tackles, the sacks, the interceptions. The kid does everything, him and Luke Kuechly. But I think this time around, Lavonte David, he gets the trophy, and he gets Defensive Player of the Year for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Okay, well, let's go with Offensive Player of the Year, which is kind of a funny thing, depending on who your MVP is. But I think the Offensive Player of the Year is going to be Peyton Manning. I think he's just going to have another phenomenal fantasy football type of year. He'll go for 5,000 yards, 45 touchdowns, 70% completions. He'll be the man. You don't need to say much about Peyton Manning. I don't think he'll win the MVP, but I think he'll win the Offensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go with the guy who wants to be the best running back in the NFL, and I think he might have a case for it. I think Shady McCoy, year two. LeSean McCoy with Chip Kelly, year two in that offense. I think Sproles is not going to take away from him. I think Sproles will make him better, so he'll be more efficient. He might have a little bit less carries or touches, but I think he'll just do more with it. And I think it'll be hard to lock in on him with the different, you know, versatility of weapons. You know, I'm talking maybe 1,600 yards rushing, 60 reception. I think Shady McCoy is going to have a special season. So comeback player of the year.
Comeback player of the year. Comeback is a guy, in my opinion, who was a star in his mind, still thinks he's a star, and probably still has a couple years left in the tank. He's close to my heart because, you know, he's on my team. So I got to go with DeMarcus Ware. I think he'll be back. I think playing on the other side of Von Miller, I think playing in Denver, playing from ahead, I think that he's just going to rack up pinball numbers, maybe 15 to 18 sacks, and all he needs to do is stay healthy. And if he's on the field, he'll be doing big things. I like DeMarcus Ware's comeback player of the year.
Well, I think when you have a young rookie quarterback, you got to run the ball. And I think Maurice Jones-Drew is going to go to Oakland, and he is going to make a comeback. I think he'll get about at least 1,100 yards, maybe 5-6 touchdowns. I think MJD will make a stamp and be like, I'm back in the NFL, and I think he's going to have a big year. Coach of the year, who you got?
So, again, this team, maybe talent-wise, shouldn't be this good, but I think because they'll have the coach of the year and because they'll have the MVP, I like Mike McCarthy in Green Bay. I think he is going to put some toughness into that team. No excuses. I think they play in one of the better divisions in the NFC North, in the NFL, and I like Mike McCarthy to lead that Green Bay team and for him to win Coach of the Year.
Wow. You know, we have the same thing, coach and quarterback together, but I've got different guys. I think he's been through a lot. He's got a Super Bowl. And I think his team is on the verge and could actually get to the Super Bowl this year. I think they won't, but they're going to be close. I'm going with Sean Payton of the New Orleans Saints. I just think he is very influential on his team, and I think he's a great coach. So I'm going with Sean Payton, MVP.
MVP, same team, same overachieving. I think Aaron Rodgers, he's an unbelievable player. If Peyton Manning wasn't getting all the love for being the best quarterback, then people would acknowledge that Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in the NFL. I think this guy is at the prime of his career. He has good enough targets that he can feel like he can spread the ball around. He'll lead a team that probably without him would go, or with a decent quarterback would go 7-9, 8-8. He'll lead a team to 12-4. And deep into the playoffs, so I like Aaron Rodgers, MVP.
Well, I agree with you about Aaron. I think he's the man. I'm going with Drew Brees. I think Drew Brees is the MVP. He gets nipped in the NFC title game to the Seahawks, but I think Drew Brees is going to just have one of those special seasons. He's the MVP. The show's winding down. We'll do Thursday night as the end of the show for the opening season. But the Super Bowl 49, out here in Arizona, Glendale, baby. Might have to get Ray on a plane to join Tay at the Super Bowl. Who is your Super Bowl winner? And give me a score.
Well, I think we're going to have a rematch of a Super Bowl a few years ago. It's the 97 season. So that was in, what, February of 98, Super Bowl 32. We had the Green Bay Packers losing to the Denver Broncos. And I think that this year, Sir Aaron Rodgers, I'm going to knight him, Aaron Rodgers wins his second Super Bowl. And once again, Peyton Manning falls a little bit short. That means he would have lost three Super Bowls.
One and three.
Yeah, so he would have lost to New Orleans, and then last year to Seattle, and this year to Green Bay. So I like Green Bay to win this 31-27 over Denver.
Wow, that'd be a very good game. I've got Seattle going against Brady and Belichick, and I've got the Seahawks, Carroll, where he used to coach in New England. I got Pete Carroll and the Seattle, I want to say supersonic, Seahawks, with Russell Wilson, who is going to continue to improve, and that team, and just hovering for the whole year. I think the Seahawks win the Super Bowl in a classic Hoshka 40-yard field goal at the end, 24-23. Brady loses again. The Seahawks repeat as Super Bowl champions in 2014-15 season.
Wow.
That's it.
Good.
I'm hyped.
Good show. Wow.
It's finally here.
You've got Seattle repeating.
Yes, that's big. It is big. It is definitely big. And how about this? It's just so ironic that Thursday night, the season opens, your Super Bowl predicted winner and my Super Bowl predicted winner play in Seattle. What happens this Thursday in the Hail Mary rematch? Or fail Mary rematch between the Seahawks and the Packers. Give me a score. Who wins Thursday night, the start of the NFL season, week one?
This sets the game and sets the tone for the season. I think the Green Bay Packers go in there and take care of business. Wow. I think they win, yes, in Seattle with all the noise and all the fandom and all the hoopla. I think they go in there, catch the defending champs a little bit off guard, and, yeah, they go out there and they win, I'm going to say 30-21.
30-21. Okay. Ray is all in. You got your chips in, Ray.
All in for the Packers.
I'm not mad. The cheesehead fans might hit you up on Twitter, man. That's pretty cool. That's pretty awesome. I'm going to tell you, it's just too much. It's too hard. Arizona was lucky to knock them off last year. I think this year, whether it's 7-1 or 8-0 at home, it's going to happen again. And I think Seattle wins a hard-fought game, 26-24, and Seattle starts off 1-0, a little bit too much of beast mode, running up the middle on the Packers. I'm going with the Seahawks.
Okay.
So that's it, man. Great show. We'll be back Friday. To predict all of the game, most of the games for week one. We'll talk week one. We'll get everybody ready for fantasy, get you to a couple of big college games, update you on the NBA, FIBA World Cup, right, with all that stuff. And the U.S. Open as we, get closer to, Federer playing tonight and Serena and everybody and see what's happening. So we will break it all down. By the way, just for a shout out for Seth Davis, like my rant was, James Michael McAdoo signed a 1-year deal, undrafted, with the Golden State Warriors. Congratulations to our Tar Heel. Had to say that. Very happy for him.
Well, we liked him coming out of high school. We thought he underachieved a little bit, but he can still be an NBA role player for sure.
Exactly. And let's hope Michael Sam gets on the practice squad with the Cowboys. Wish him well.
Yeah, I think, and this is not doing anybody any favors. I mean, I think this guy's a legit football player.
Yeah, he deserves a shot, yeah.
SEC Player of the Year needs to be on an NFL roster.
I hear you, brother. I hear you. All right, everybody, we're back from Labor Day. This is the start of our third season. Check us out on theurbandaily.com and check out rayandtaytoday.com. You can see all of our picks and predictions. They'll be up there. And, hey, we're just looking forward to new things in this year and new things in September. It's a good time. Take care, and thanks for listening and talking sports with friends.
Enjoy your football.
Killer. Killer. It's that time of the year, yo. Shout out to Alana.
I'm back.
Do you remember back in September, all the good times and lots of fun in September, y'all? A celebration.
And it's September, y'all. A celebration. Do you remember back in September? All the good times and lots of fun in September, y'all. A celebration. And it's September, y'all. A celebration. Well, September's here and it's the end of the summer. Back to school or to work for some, it's the bummer. For others, it's a new year and time to atone. What? Buy some new gear or a cell phone. Labor Day parade, what island is you from? I got my own float and I feel like number one. It's just raining, cats are just straining, but after the parade.